Welcome to the Pop-Up Podcast, From Brides to Brands, Episode 3. On this episode, I'm pulling the curtain back on the number one mistake wedding photographers make when photographing brand sessions, and how one simple but significant shift in your approach will help you up-level from boring and forgettable to scroll-stopping results. This is From Brides to Brands, a private pop-up podcast for burned-out, frustrated wedding photographers. I'm pulling back the curtain on what it takes to either supplement or replace your wedding photography income with brand sessions, and why the leap isn't nearly as big as you think. I'm your host, Abby Grace, a former wedding photographer who made the switch into branding and lived to tell the tale with more freedom and fulfillment than even I had believed possible. Have you ever had a wedding where things kept getting thrown at you that you weren't expecting? Like when the bride tells you that she wants to do a first look with her dad, but she doesn't tell you until she's in her dress. And with the timeline already being packed, you know that that's going to put you 10 to 15 minutes behind schedule, which then cuts into the first look with the groom, which was already going to be tight, and so on. Or when you get the final schedule 2 days before the wedding and the planner has taken the liberty of scheduling your second shooter to go to the reception without you to photograph the reception details, but you need your second shooter with you to divide and conquer bridal party photos, and now you've got to figure out how to get both of those things done before the guests arrive because, surprise, cocktail hour and the reception are happening in the same location, and cocktail hour starts immediately following the ceremony. Does that sound familiar? Maybe that's happened to you. All those little things that don't feel so little in the moment where you say to yourself, gosh, this would have been a lot easier to solve for if I had known ahead of time, but now you have to think on the fly and you're not sure if you have the resources available to make it happen. Yeah, that's exactly what it's like when you walk into a brand session without planning ahead. Because here's the biggest difference between weddings and branding. It isn't the number of guests or the decor or the schedule or any of those other factors. It's the strategy you develop and map out before you get there. Weddings involve strategy too. Obviously, they require a ton of planning. That's why people get engaged so far in advance and why they often hire a professional coordinator. And as a photographer, you have to have a plan too. You know where you're starting, where you're going for portraits. Maybe you even did some advanced location scouting before the wedding day. You've asked the couple about their desired family formal combinations. You know what time sunset is. You probably even know how comfortable the couple is in front of the camera because you did an engagement session with them. You know which side of the aisle to stand on to get the groom's reaction as his bride comes down the aisle. And you know that when Hava Nagila starts that you better get a wide lens on your camera to account for all of those moving people who've suddenly rushed the dance floor. Your plan may not be written down in a 12-page shot list because, ugh, that's a dirty four-letter word. But you do know which photographs to take and when based on the overall objective of the job, which is to document the day your client said, I do. And that's the job, artful documentation. You need to anticipate and be ready to fire the shutter before a moment happens. But aside from posing direction and some low-key therapy that you might offer your brides when the energy levels in the bridal suite start to feel a bit frenetic, you're generally not steering the ship. You're an observer and a reporter. You are an artistic journalist reporting on what you've witnessed. Being a brand photographer, though, that involves co-piloting with your client and coming up with a plan well in advance of the day of the shoot to meet their objectives. And unlike weddings, where the objective is typically the same, you know, document the day and do it beautifully, for brand clients, every session has something different it's trying to achieve. So this means you need to work to uncover what a particular branding client is hoping to achieve with their photographs. Sometimes the client isn't totally clear on that themselves. They just know that they need to refresh their brand visuals, or in some cases, they've never had them taken in the first place, and so they're looking to you to help them set the visual tone for what's to come in their business. Maybe the client is looking to up-level their clientele, or they're moving to a different industry, or they're looking to showcase how they've expanded their business with a team of agents or associates. When we had our last brand session in 2022, my main objective was to show more of the education side of things. Our previous brand session was 2 years earlier in 2020, and while those photographs are beautiful, they only showed me as a photographer. And in the 2 years between those shoots, I had introduced our signature course, Brand Photography Academy. We had also started the public podcast, The Artisan CEO. And so I needed photographs that communicated that I'm an educator and a podcaster in addition to the photography work that I do for clients. And that's not something that you wait to make a plan for until you're on set for a session. You need to know that ahead of time because that's going to influence how you advise your clients on everything from wardrobe to location, from props to extra people that they may want to have on set for their session. In the first episode of this mini-series, I described brand photography as helping to bridge the gap between a brand owner's intention and their audience's perception. So then that means you need to know, what is the brand's intention? How do they see themselves? And from what you can tell, how aligned is that with how their audience sees them? One of my favorite clients is Ashlyn Carter. She is the OG copywriter for creatives. I've shot for Ashlyn 6 times. Now, remember in the last episode how we talked about the potential for returning clientele? Case in point. So when we were shooting her 3rd brand session, that we actually recorded a full behind the scenes video of that shoot for our students, Ashlyn mentioned during that session that, well, actually in the lead up to that session as we were planning for it, she mentioned that she was running into the issue of her copywriting clients not seeming to understand that she runs an agency, that she has a team of writers under her who contribute to every project. And it was causing some confusion when her clients heard from people who were other than Ashlyn. So I proposed that we plan for a few images during her session that depict a team of people together. She was already using her copy, obviously, as a copywriter to educate her clients that she runs an agency. She would talk about our team, our agency. She had scaled her business to where she's not a solo entrepreneur anymore, but somehow that wasn't being caught all of the time on the client end. So there was a disconnect there between her intention and audience perception. So we used her photographs to help adjust her clients' expectations so that they weren't surprised when a first draft of a copy project was written by one of Ashlyn's other writers. What we're doing here is moving out of the role of documentarian and stepping into the role of creative director. And with that comes more responsibility, but also the chance to get really creative. That process starts with asking a lot of questions. I use my consult roadmap during every sales call to start to collect intel on what would serve my clients best, to begin looking for clues about any gaps or disconnects. And then that process goes even deeper with the pre-shoot questionnaire and the pre-shoot research that I do, and then the strategy call that we have a few weeks before their session. It involves digging into all their existing marketing channels and seeing if you can spot any holes that the client themselves may not have detected. And then, because your clients trust you as the brand expert, you get to help steer the ship, to weigh in on what to prioritize for that brand session. It's a collaborative experience, one where your clients trust your expertise and they want to hear your suggestions. My client Wendy of Chair Whimsy, she's a chair stylist and she has several courses teaching DIY upholstery. We were working on a collection of photographs for her book that came out recently, and it was a huge project for her, the culmination of 3 photo shoots over a 1-year span. And the 3rd and final shoot was laser. So the first shoot was a clean sweep. The 2nd shoot was a campaign-based one for a collaboration she'd done. And then the 3rd shoot was specifically for the book. We were pulling photos for the book from all 3 of those sessions, but the 3rd one was like a fill-in-the-gap type shoot. And we were filling in any of the remaining holes that we could see now that we had the draft layout from her book designer and we could see where the gaps were. And there was this one spread inside the chapter about learning to play, because the book is Life Whimsy, How to Think, Work, and Play More Creatively. And so this particular chapter is talking about how play encourages creativity. And the spread had this headline of goofing off at the top, and it had an iPhone photo of Wendy making a silly face. And I told her on her strategy call, I think we can improve on this. I think we can make this feel more on brand and more polished. So I was like, what if, hear me out, what if you ordered one of those like swim caps covered in silk flowers, the kind you see in old depictions of ladies synchronized swimming? You know, that's like a very specific thing. Like, how often do you see depictions of like vintage synchronized swimming? But you guys know what I'm talking about, right? So what if you got one of the swim caps and you wore that and we did a few shots in your pool? And Wendy's first reaction was to laugh at me and say, I'm not getting my bathing suit. But sure enough, she did. And that photo of Wendy in her blue polka dot one piece and that pink swimming cap is on the back cover of her book, and it's on the About the Author page. Because you have the ability to co-captain the ship, to steer it in a direction that you think will best serve your client, it offers you the chance to be proactively creative instead of reactively creative. It gives you the chance to start pulling from your artistic tank way before the day of a shoot. I don't know about you, but even after years of photographing engagement sessions, there would come a point during pretty much every shoot where I was like, guys, I'm out of ideas. We've used all of my go-to poses, and I shot in all of the corners of this location that I can think of. I think we've done all we can. And that was fine, relying on my ability to think on my feet and create on the fly, because even though every couple's love story is unique, the general format from one engagement session to the next is, you know, pretty similar. But for brands, because every client's end goal or objective is different, you cannot simply lather, rinse, repeat from one shoot to the next. And relying on the Pinspiration Fairy to appear and bless you with creativity on the day of the shoot, that's not a plan. But because you're gathering so much information ahead of time, you can map out a shoot from start to finish before you ever step on set so that you never freeze up or run out of ideas. Hear me out. I know the term shot list is enough to make most wedding photographers cringe, but in the branding world, it's actually a huge asset. Before every brand shoot, I spend a significant amount of time creating a shot list with every idea I can think of that will help a client market their business and reach their objectives. The contents of the shot list are never the same from one shoot to the next, and they're based on the goals that my client has expressed to me during the research process, but it also includes ideas of where I've spotted gaps or opportunities in their current marketing practices. We've had skeptics in the past ask if writing a shot list ends up being restrictive or too structured, doesn't leave any room for creativity, and the answer to that is absolutely not. Because you've spent time brainstorming ahead of time, you're not having to make stuff up on the fly. Have you ever heard of the concept of decision fatigue? It's this idea that humans have a limited amount of juice for making decisions each day. It's why you get to the end of the day and you're exhausted, you're more likely to make poor decisions about the food that you put in your body, like says the girl who just ate like half a bag of Pirate's Booty last night because I was tired. So by mapping out a shot list ahead of time and making decisions about the bulk of what you're going to shoot before the day of the session, you're actually creating more margin for creativity to breathe when you get there, because it isn't a matter of you deciding in the moment, what should we shoot? It's a matter of working the plan you've already made and then having the freedom to follow inspiration when it strikes on set, because you know you've already accounted for the most crucial photo needs in your shot list. Writing out a shot list also helps to keep the session focused. Instead of a bunch of disconnected, cute portraits, clarifying your plan ahead of time helps you see how each shot idea fits into the overall goals for the shoot so that you can make sure you know why you are taking each photograph. You're more clear on the purpose that those images are going to serve, because remember, that's what we're after here. Not just pretty, but purposeful. These photos are intended to help your clients sell more to the people who need what they offer. And writing out those ideas in advance will help you stay more organized and on track at the shoot. And the result of planning ahead, of staying focused and organized, it's a gallery that your client is obsessed with, that directly supports their marketing plan, helping them stand out in a sea of competitors, which ends up getting you both noticed. So if you took nothing else away from this episode, I need you to know that brand photography requires thinking and planning like a creative director, not a relational documentarian. We've gone over so much in this episode, how being a wedding photographer primes you to be good at brand photography, but that you've got to come armed with a detailed plan for what you're going to cover at a session in order to find success, in order to help your clients connect their intentions with their audience perception. And that is what will make you stand out in this new-to-you field of brand photography. It all boils down to this. The approach that works for weddings will not work for branding. And knowing that there's a difference between the two, that is the secret that most new brand photographers don't have. I see this all the time with my BPA students. And as long as you learn to think like a strategist and shoot like an artist, you're going to be okay. Coming up in the next episode, we'll be talking about how to begin building a portfolio while you refine your brand photography process, all without the huge commitment of changing your entire business model yet. I'll be sharing how I greased the slide before successfully launching my brand photography offer without losing the trust of my existing clientele.